The reason I don't keep in the model the pace variant that you get when you run the variant program is because that's raw, it's unadjusted. And I know that synergism adjusts all these numbers anyway, so they're not going to really relate. So I'm more interested in the percent early. So what I do, though, is just like Tom, you know, you get your horses to watch list from Tom, that's nothing more than a horse that ran above the par, and I just compare it to the par. And if I have a horse, I just mark it down, say this is a horse to watch. That's the only thing I do. We have the par count.
Well, by some chance we have five horses or however many contenders we have, it just so happens all of the races were the same track, same distance.
Right.
Whether you have tandem races or not, you don't use synergism
good
in a situation question. Like that?
Good question.
I'm glad you brought that up. Let's assume that you've nailed it down to five contenders in the race, and they're all of the same distance. So obviously you're going to set it up at that distance, right? Let's just assume, for example, that today's distance is 6.5 furlongs, but your five contenders all have 6 furlong pace lines, all from the same track. When you put in your setup time, you can put in anything you want. It will never be used, because none of the horses are going to be adjusted to that par variant. They all have the same distance of the pace line, so it's absolutely immaterial what track record you put in. I beg your pardon, track record must be right. It's immaterial what setup times you're in. So what if it's a sprint, I always put in 45-110 and just let it rip. Or if it's a route, I put in 111-142. If they're all the same distance, none of them are going to be adjusted to the par variant anyway, so you only have to do it one time and go on your way. Glad you brought that up.
Saying no to any adjustment, right?
That's correct.
They get, every one of those horses gets a daily track variant. Just like if you were using phase three and asked for the open adjustment, only you just don't know what it is. It's being done for you automatically. That's correct. Does everybody understand that? Oh yeah, they're getting adjusted, but they're not getting adjusted to a par variant. They're not getting that quasi.
It won't come up and won't ask you open adjustment.
Only ask you for a clap. They only ask for a clap. That's it.
Synergism is a faith program.
If you have faith in the program, then you can worry now about your interpretations and don't have to worry about second guessing all this.
Well,
there's a magical formula there.
But it's
not magical. I'm not going to tell you what the formula is, but I'll tell you what the results are. Okay, Tom rounds off his variance to the nearest 0.05. Okay, so you get him 45, 50, 55, 60, and so on. Okay, and so I get his variance all the time. He sends them to me, and I can take any race and I can go through, run the race using synergism. And then I have a little trick where I can punch and find out what the variant is that synergism actually calculated. So here I come up with a 0.48. And this happened to be the eighth race at Santa Anita on November 12th. Flip open to Tom's variance, look at the eighth race on November 12th, and lo and behold, 0.50 was his variant, and Mike's program came up with a 0.48. It's almost never off by more than 0.02. You know, so I don't have to... As long as it's within 0.02 or 0.03, I don't care. That's close enough for me, and it ought to be close enough for you guys, I'll tell you that. That adjustment is made. Now, you still have to say yes to the automatic variant, running synergism. Now, when you get all five horses the same distance, you don't say no to the automatic variant.
That's what I was referring to.
No, no. When you,
if they were
all the same
distance, you still say yes to the automatic variant because it's going to get that 0.48 or whatever it happens to be adjusted. It's just not going to be adjusted to whatever you put in as a setup time. Okay, it's going to get an automatic daily track variant that's calculated as the program runs rather than looking it up in Tom's sheets and seeing what he had for it. Okay, you still say yes to the automatic variant, no to shippers, okay? And run them, and it's taken care of. The setup time, just put in 45 and 110 and let it go with that. Yes?
Is this the relevance only for the setup being the same distance as all the horses ran, or is that, does that matter?
Yes.
In other words, in this particular instance, okay, Let's be real clear on this, because you can get in trouble with this if you're not right. Okay? After you've got all your paste lines selected, you look down and say, well, lo and behold, they're all the same distance. And in this case, let's say that let's say today's race is 6.5 furlongs. And we're at Santa Anita. And you look down and say, well, lo and behold here, they've only been here a couple of days, and here I have all 5 horses with 6 furlong pace lines. And they're all from Del Mar, every single one of them. Okay? So they're all from a common distance. I'd answer yes to the automatic variant, no to shippers, and I'd put in the track record, 107-3, just happens to be the same at Del Mar. But if it was different, I'd put in the Del Mar track record. Okay, let's just assume that it was, 107-2. So now I've entered the track record, and it'll ask me for the setup time. I've told the computer that the distance today is not 6.5, but 6 furlongs. Because that's what the majority of the pace lines is. They're all 6 furlongs. Okay? Now it asks for the setup time. I just put in one time, a 45 and a 110, and then no to any more, and let it go. Because these will never be used, but the program still asks you to enter them. So you just enter them one time. They are never used in this context. Okay? Then you enter the 5 horses. And as you enter each one of these horses, they will each be given a daily track variant of their own, and their times will be adjusted by a daily track variant only, never adjusted to the setup times that you put in. That's the best, most accurate situation. And that's another thing you do with using synergism. You always look to see if you can get all of your horses from the same distance pace line. That's where you differ from phase three. I'm always looking. I even go back in my pace line selection using synergism, assuming that I've made this horse a legitimate contender, and I'm not going to use a race where he's outclassed or whatever. If I can find a pace line for him that matches today's distance, that's what I'm going to use. That gives me more and more horses where there is no adjustment other than this daily track variant that the computer calculates. The reason for that is that's the most accurate adjustment you're going to get in it. Now, how do I know it's the most accurate adjustment? Because it equals Brohammer's variance. And you know anybody on the face of this earth that can do variance better than Tom Brohammer? I certainly don't.
So, is basically overscan right off at that point.
This is not a fixed variant. This is calculated just like Tom would do it. Okay? It's a different formula altogether. This and they will come out within 0.02 of the same variant that Tom calculated. That's why it's so accurate. And in doing this, this is the most accurate readout you're going to get. Whenever you can get all of these horses with the same pace line difference. One example is, and it was an extreme example, was a grass race, stakes race. And it was run at the winter meet at Santa Anita. And I was doing this test, and this is when I learned how accurate the automatic variant in synergism really was. There were 8 horses in the race, and I made all of them contenders. I could not eliminate a single horse in that race. I think it was a grade 2 race, and every single horse in there, I made a legitimate contender in this race. So I ran it through synergism. And here are our WEST rankings, and all 8 horses down here. And I can't remember what they were, but I have them at home. Then I went through and I ran Brohammer's variance on the same race. Unusual, but every single ranking for every horse in the race, all 8 horses, was exactly the same. There was no difference at all. And it just so happened that all 8 of these contenders had common pace lines over the same track. Unusual you get 8 horses and you'd be able to do that, but there was a stakes race where it was possible, a grade 2 grass race.
Excuse me, can I use that on the readouts the next morning in the paper?
No.
Use your variant program.
Use the variant program on the results, and then that's my profile.
That's your profile.
Because you're looking for percent error. You can use, just do DEF-V on it. It's got the variant program there, okay? It gives you the PACE rating, which is the phase 3 factor W, is all it is, okay? Raw. That's what your PACE rating is. You get two readouts when you use the variant program, okay? The PACE rating is factor W, okay? Raw. There's no adjustment to it. And you get the percent early. And that's what you're doing in the morning. Is seeing.
I'm only interested in, say, my first and second one.
That's correct. Yeah. And you get.
Don't need to run any more of the horses.
No. You could use synergism to do it, but you're going through a long. You're letting the program run a long time. It's very laborious to get it to do it.
From the results charts, it probably wouldn't really be any good.
Just use your variant program, and all you're actually putting it down in your records is the percent early.
Read out that says PACE variant is comparable to your factor delta.
It's exactly
the same as
right
factor delta.
When I do say I'm going to, I did yesterday's results, I got a factor W and our PACE, and then now I'm going to go down to the first race today. Now, because the factor delta is adjusted, is there going to be much difference?
No, it's
substantial difference. Because the PACE rating that you get in the variant program is the phase 3 factor W, not synergism factor W. No, just don't use it. Just use the percent early. Okay. On your profile, all you're keeping is the percent early to see if the track's switching from early to late or vice versa. Okay. And that's the easiest way. I just open up the paper in the morning, just go right through and just write the percent early.
My horses were percent early on the after synergism that fall into the parameters of that.
They're exactly the same.
When you run synergism, the percent early is exactly the same as if you run phase 3. There is never any difference on the percent early. So you can run the variant program to get your percent early. 5210. That's right. Exactly right. So use your variant program and have confidence in the percent early. It's exactly the same in synergism as it is in the variant program. There is no change.
What have you been doing form cycle with the variant program from phase 3? Is that information still
I'm not familiar with what you mean. What do you mean by doing form cycle?
Just going over the each take
horse for 10 lines,
take horse for 10 lines,
and
another
variable.
You can see the percentages
are
going up or going down. And
right.
What's happening
there. That's fine. There's no. If all you're doing is just tracking a horse going up or down or in or out, if you want to call it that. It's immaterial whether it's phase 3 or synergism. You're looking for the pattern of whether the horse is either improving or declining. And it doesn't matter whether he's improving on a phase 3 number or a synergism number. The improvement is going to be the same percentage wise.
Your park charts have been set up for phase 3 factor W. You have to continue to use that program if you're running the same park charts again.
Adjust to that part. You're using the track record, right? That establishes the par, and synergism being adjusted to it. Don't complicate it. It's real simple.
Well, no, I started on phase 3 and I did the par charts, and I have them for the different tracks. Now, if I'm going to update all that information, you don't have to go over that?
You can if you like, but use the phase 3. Use your variant program to do it.
In
the
phase 3
program, you have a synergy program. Same. A variant program is a variant program. It doesn't matter whether you're using the phase 3 variant program or the synergism variant program. They're exactly the same. Exactly the same.
No, said that the W as adjusted by synergism does not match your phase variant raw.
When you put the horse through the synergism program, that's a handicapping program. And we're adjusting the horses as you go through the process. When you use a variant program, you're not adjusting anything. That's a raw number, okay? So whenever you're updating your pars, always use the variant program. Don't use synergism. Synergism will then adjust to your pars when you run the horses through it. It's real simple, so don't confuse them. The variant program is the same in all of our programs, phase 3 programs. Okay, any other questions?
Synergism saves you a lot of the work.
Joe was just talking about. It is purely designed for the people who want to do all this kind of work and keep these meticulous records. Now all you got to do is keep your result chart differentials between distances if you still want to use the phase three. It just does all that for you as well.
Most of you people who know me know that I am not what you'd call an intellectual giant, okay? I'm a blue-collar type, have been all my life. That's why I call Synergism a blue-collar program.
Double Chevys over the rock.
Well, that's just...
He drives BMWs and Cadillacs. He's typical American blue-collar,
folks. Inside, I'm a blue-collar man. And that's the reason I developed Synergism in the manner that I did, so that anybody who will follow the precepts of the Sartan methodology, which is to do your class in APV, do the X's and O's, do the ESPs, get your contenders, and enter your pace lines. The program takes care of the rest of it. You do not have to learn the whys or wherefores of variance and adjustments and energies and all this other kind of stuff. It is all in the program and is taken care of for you automatically. You don't have to go through that learning curve to learn all that stuff. You have to learn the basics, which I just described to you. If you'll do that, you can go to the track with this program with all the confidence in the world, and you don't have to worry about anybody else.
A lot of people think that the dream race concept is there because it's there, it takes up room or something. It has a specific purpose, and it not only helps you in analyzing your synergism readouts, because remember what we told you. In synergism, because the adjustment is so amazingly and dramatically automatic, you no longer have to spend all your time worrying about minute adjustments. You can spend all your time picking appropriate pace lines and an interpretation of the readout. Once the readout, you're sure that the readouts are accurate and they're truly reflective of what should happen in at least 85% of the time, then you can start looking behind the scenes of those readouts. And you'll do as John did this morning, see that he actually had the winner when his bet didn't reflect what the readout said. So let's take a look at any of these. Pick them. I don't like the second race of 11-1 because the odds were 270 and 110, and they were pretty obvious. But take ones, some that are not so obvious. The ninth race on 10-30-87, which is somewhere in the middle of the manual. You got, everybody got it. It was won by First Silver Hawk. We'll take all, we'll go over all of them similarly. You all recall the pace of the race, pace of the horse program, in which we showed you how to evaluate a horse's performance against the pace of the race in which it ran. At the time we conceived the dream race, which was years and years ago, there was no computer method with our lack of sophistication in computers that we could come up with that would give us a dream race and rank everybody beneath a dream race. The dream race is that race you see opposite the line marked pace. The dream race constitutes the three best fractions, first, second, and third, of all the horses in the race. It extracts the best of those three from the contention. Now, I'm going to make a rule for you. In effect, doing the APV in class rating, doing the X's and O's or pluses and zeros and pluses within a zero, and the ESP are mandatory primary steps in handicapping. So therefore, they can be called rules if you wish. The second rule is always look at the horses that make the dream fraction. So looking at that race, who made the dream fractions? Who made the first fraction? Right. Who made the second fraction?
First, Silverhawk.
Who made the third? Okay. those three horses must be the ones that you look at with a great deal of objectivity and clarity first. One of those horses would have a one in it if you were to do a fractional compugraph. Darrell and I found in 1975 that horses with a single one in their readouts could not be overlooked. The one, regardless of how badly they performed in the other two, was significant enough to make that horse a factor in the pace. Whether he wins or places or not is secondary, he must be considered a factor. Just looking at the first fraction, what horses are in contention? Horses that have, we're looking now at just your readouts. Just look at your readouts. You only have four horses that are even moderately in contention, right? You have unasked first, Basti, and Southie. I'm looking at the one underneath on the Dream Race and the F1, F2, F3. You're looking at a 57.97. The closest to it is first with a 56.78, but Basti and Southie are still in the 56 ballpark. Not really terribly contentious, but they're still there. Rady, who has the best third fraction, just is very, very far off. Now let's see who's in contention at the second fraction. Based on the Dream fraction, you have first an Unass and Southie and Rady now. Who's in contention at the third fraction relative to where they were? Now, this is tricky because this is the reason Unass did not win, and this is the reason why those who would have immediately looked at it and said, oh, that's a one-bet race, would have lost. The horse has a tremendous drop-off in the third fraction. So what you say to yourself, who is in contention? You have to assume that a horse was in contention in two out of the three fractions, remains in contention. So you can't throw him out of contention, but his third fraction does not give you anything to be excited about. Who then is in contention in the third fraction by itself? Everybody but Bassey, right? Everybody but Bassey has been in contention throughout the series. Bassey is an automatic throw-out by now. He was moderately in contention in the first. He dropped out of contention in the second, totally. You can see that. Look at that fraction, can't you? If he was just moderately in contention in the first and he drops to a 51-52, you've got to say to yourself, hey, he's not in contention. If he had been leading at the first, he might still be in contention, but he was only moderately even in contention. Bassey's an automatic throw-out. All right. Now, look to see how much did Rady gain. Using 57.97 as your criterion, he was behind 2.16. What does he gain? He's only even with the best, so he's still 2.16 behind, right? He has not gained that much significance. Just look in the fraction in your, don't think about them in times now or in beaten lengths. Think of them as feet per second. That's a terribly fine tool. It gives you a true picture of the velocity. Did he gain enough in the second and third? And the answer would be no, but read it anyway. The only place he gained on that 2-point-something that was behind was in the second fraction. So that's what you need to see when you look at these. First is in contention. He is the race in the second fraction. And his he's only 0.85 off of the horse that is so far off at that point that it's only secondary. So obviously what you come up with is three horses in this race, and the order of finish is exactly the same as the fractions tell you it will be. Even though the fractions run in the race itself, we're dissimilar to these predicting fractions. While on that subject, it hasn't come up in the class, but it should. It came up at the Vegas seminar. A young man is still writing me letters about it, although he seems to understand it now. We kind of picked on him. He found, as virtually anyone will find, that on many, many occasions, the early percentage that you get from the race that predicts the winners will be highly divergent from the early percentage that the horse runs in the actual race. That disturbed him. The reason we picked on him, if the word is applicable, is that he won the races and still complained that they did not run the race with the same energy that they were predicted. Percent early is a predictive tool. It does not carry over into the race itself because the pace matchup of the actual race dictates how a horse will use that energy. So in one of these races I did for Bob today where the horse ran 54-something in the pace race that he used, he only ran 52-40 in the actual race. Came in second again. The horse that came in first ran 51-something. The difference between, the relative difference between their predictive race and their actual running was about the same, but they ran an entirely different early. Don't let that bother you. What it is you cannot, we cannot deny fact B, which is the percent early they run in the race is frequently different by a wide margin from the predictive percent early. But the fact that we can't argue with fact A is that using it as a predictor is also extremely effective. And the parameters of early energy will dictate whether you throw a horse out or not just as much as whether you leave it in. So what else do we see? Now, do we all understand how to use, we're going to do a couple more races to make sure we understand this. Do we all understand how you can see the shape of the race by looking at those three fractions and who is not going to be in contention? The guy says, this horse worries me. This horse scares me. Well, if Basti scares somebody, it must be because he knows the owner or the trainer or the jockey or saw something on the odds boards, or he's going to severely improve from this race, which means we use the bad pace line or something. But according to what we have, and that's all we've got to go on, that horse does not qualify. He finished next to last. And he won't always. Yes, sir?
Unassailable. You've got 57, 97, 52, 31. Then he drops way down into 47, 39. He's probably not in contention to win, but then would you almost at that point say he's not in contention to even place?
No, I wouldn't.
I'll look at two things. In the first place, measure his first fraction lead. It's not the lead he had in the race, because you didn't even take the lead in the race, but measure his first fraction lead in these figures. He's 1.2 better, feet per second, better than the first horse. This means now that he can drop off considerably. He does not substantially, he's in the second fraction, he's right in contention relative to where he was in the first. He dropped off, and he dropped off too much. And the third fraction will tell you that you didn't have such a world beater for win, and it wasn't a race in which Bob initially thought he could just bet the one horse. No matter whether this track is running early or sustained, a horse will have a minimum third fraction energy requirement that you will, if you chart it, just from these figures, chart these figures over 20 or 30 races by distance, you'll find that there is a minimum third fraction velocity rating that a horse can have and still win. It's usually right at 49 at most of our Southern California tracks. I reiterate, Southern California might be 47, 46 east and Midwest.
But
combine those two fractions and you really come up with, you've got an even-paced horse in Salty who did just what it probably figured to do, come in third. The rest of them are uneven. That's an easy one, but an easy one that paid $19 and $10.40. Why that horse paid $10.40 to place, I'll never know. The second fraction is the fulcrum of all races. Looking where a horse, what it did in the second fraction, whether it declined or came up, relative, that's why the dream race up here is far more significant than if you just put the pace of any individual horse up here. Yes, sir?
That Celtic Lady, when you figure that horse, you couldn't figure it to win. And it didn't have the contra energy because that Radiantly was better. But it was still a good place or show because it had the second best closing sustained pace up on top.
It did precisely what, if you analyze each individual fraction, it said it would do, come in third. Now, had Silver Unassailable died even more severely, and had First Silverhawk not done what it did, if either one of those had faltered and not done what they were predicted to do, then Celtic Lady could easily have won the race. In this case, those two horses did what they were supposed to do, and Celtic Lady, who was the favorite for some reason, still paid $2.60, so you got 30% on the dollar. You bet it to show. That's an easy one.